You're listening to TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Welcome to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. And now, here's a Cubs fan who drinks light beer and has mustard relish and grilled onions on his Chicago dog, and a White Sox fan who prefers single malts and Cuban cigars. But there's no mistaking their everlasting love for the Fighting Illini of the University of Illinois. You are Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
So, Boz, I finished my lyrics to O Canada. Do you want to hear them?
Sure.
You need a doo-wop in the background. You just
acapella. That'd be good.
Yeah, if you want to.
Boom, boom, ooh ah, ooh ah.
Oh, like can we play? We lack in heart and sand, porous and weak. We lack a b-ball brand with heavy hearts. Many lost still smarts. We cannot find the key from far and close. Oh, no, it hurts. We cannot guard for sheet. God bless our coach, for he cannot see. Oh, we can't play if we can't guard thee. Oh, we can't play if we can't guard thee.
You know, I'm glad you did that, Mr. G. Bravo. It looks
this
like...
Is a copyright violation, by the way?
Probably.
Does somebody have to pay
probably.
Some...
We've violated the Mann Act before, so this is nothing for us, you know.
It looks like our defense stinks and the other team
you were
is...
going to reference the Mann Act.
Do you know what the Mann Act was, by the way?
In my finance days, that seems familiar. And you guys go ahead and talk.
Well, no, the Mann Act was actually transporting a minor across state lines for the purpose of illicit doings. But we were young when we were doing that.
All right, well, let's move on.
The Boy Act, as it were.
It looks like our defense is bad, but in reality, it isn't that bad. If you look at the shooting percentages from the other team,
39.9% for the year.
Yeah, they're not. But where we fail and we have failed badly the past couple weeks is our shooting's been horrendous. And the rebounding.
Well, five of the last six games, under 40%.
Rebounding is part of defense.
I know we brought you in here for some reason.
Rebounding is part of defense.
I can recite numbers.
It really is.
Well, I'm just talking about guarding and all that kind of thing.
Lies, statistics, and damn lies, as I said before.
Okay. So enough of the games of past, and I guess there's a little future here. You know, we won't even get an NIT home game, from what I understand.
Maybe in the second round, the Cirque du Soleil.
By the way, the Cirque du Soleil is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's play at Huff.
Yeah, that would be cool.
There's a big ass hole in Huff. They've taken a wrecking ball to the what direction?
East
is that? Northwest corner, I think. You can kind of see into Huff. They've knocked down like a corner of the wall.
How about a UC game for the NIT? Playing at the UC.
I'm sure if anyone can arrange that, you are the guy.
How many tickets are you going to buy the tickets that go unsold, the 16,000 seats that...
Listen, Duke played there, and they had friends and family night at the UC. They had about 7,000 people at the UC for Duke versus Iowa State.
Yeah, it was all the Shire's relatives.
Well, they can afford to do that, though.
Yeah, they bussed them in from Northbrook
and Glencoe
and served them, you know.
It's just like a Bulls game.
Yeah, exactly.
They without the bad sweaters.
3 hours in advance to beat the traffic. All right, before we get to the selection, I want to get your opinion, Lindsay. Jimmy Jackson made reference to it, mentioning Thad Matta likes to play man, has gone to zone. I mentioned before the break, I'm starting to kind of get a little disillusioned with our coach. I don't see enough adjustments. I don't see enough flexibility.
Imagination.
Imagination. Thank you, Mr. G. What's wrong with playing a zone for a possession or two? Or God forbid on an out of bounds play on defense when the other teams are getting layups. What's wrong with pressing a little here and there before you're down 15, 20 points? What's wrong with a little different offense other than pick and roll where the guy doesn't roll most of the time? He stands out for
a
three-pointer.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, you got to get guys going to the basket and banging and all that. And you know,
I think it's both the best trait of Bruce and the worst trait of Bruce is his stubbornness. And he riffed on this somewhere middle of the year where, and again, it was...
Is that a music term? He riffed on it?
Yeah. He has various themes, and it's, he knows how to win, and the players need to learn how to win. In essence, it should be his way because he knows how to win.
Yeah,
and the way you win is you win with the motion offense in general. You play man-to-man. Those are the right ways to play. He said after maybe after the Ohio State game, one of the games where, you know, and Thad played zone, and you know that catches up with you after a while if you play a bunch of, that's just what he believes. And for good or for evil, he has all these winning seasons and feels that's the way to play, and it's gonna take something like this. If you finish 18-14 and you've lost six of your last seven, and teams have been whipping you and you haven't been shooting well and you haven't, does it take something like that? Or else it's going to be the same thing next year in the preseason in October. Well, you know, we looked at some zone and we... Right, we may,
but here's what the disgruntled alumnus are saying, alumni.
Mm-hmm.
The disgruntled alumni are saying, listen, he inherited a program that was at the precipice of being a great program. He took that program and within a 5 to 6 year period, he's turned us into a rebuilding job. That never should have happened. We never should have been in a position in a basketball-rich state like Illinois with so many Division I prospects in this state. Even if you didn't get the top two players in state every year, mm-hmm. you still were going to get great players if you got numbers 3 to 4 to 5. He didn't do that. He didn't coach guys up because part of the argument would be, well, maybe he'll get the 3-star guys, but he'll coach them up. Well, that didn't happen either. 2 out of 3 years, this team missing the tournament is unconscionable.
My guy Paul Cleef, the News Gazette, summed it up pretty well before the Sunday game on the flagship station. Is that this team has the talent? It should not get a pass for missing the tournament this year. This team should have been a tournament team.
You think they were better than Bradley or Utah or Georgia?
Here's another last point. He even made it a point preseason.
He being Bruce.
Yes. At the beginning of the year, one of the things that he's going to try to improve on is substitution, getting some guys more time, whatever. He said it during the middle of the year when Griffey got some minutes, did well, and that's like falling off the table. He can't even get Griffey in for 5-10 minutes tops.
And
clearly it looks like he's needed.
You guys are roughly in Bruce's age range, correct?
And I'm
about a decade behind. We are entrenched in our ways. You know, we're not. You know, it's just we have traditions, we have ways we are, and that's just the way he is. He could call himself out on not, and he had to even start Griffey to make sure he gave him some minutes, and he called himself out on it, and he still cannot make himself. Excuse me, while I punch the mic. He cannot make himself. He cannot defeat himself. He cannot override himself. He is what he is, for good or for evil,
well,
depending
then,
on where you're
and
on
then
the fence.
This year he said he was going to use a press. We haven't used the press, unless
except
we were desperate.
Except frantic, yep.
Unless
when
we're desperate. Why not use it to change tempo in the first half of the Minnesota game? You know, when you're stagnant and your offense isn't doing anything for you. Try to create something and get some easy baskets.
Okay. Well, here's my acid test. Not there hasn't been enough acid tests, but... Next year, when Crandall Head could theoretically be your 11th or 12th man, at that, if you could not incorporate 9, 10 of these guys and sub more and run more, and you know every year he says much. I guess every coach probably says they want to run more. It always turns out. Oh, here's a stat. I was just at Northwest earlier today. You know who led the Big Ten in scoring in Big Ten play? Northwestern at 60. And at only 68.7 points per game. Nobody in the Big Ten runs. It's absurd.
We've got Frank from Belleville on the line. Frank, welcome, Frank.
Hey, welcome, guys. I'll tell you what, I enjoy listening to your show. You were talking about Tyler Griffey a little while ago, and I got a question to ask you. If you look at next season, what makes you guys think he's going to get more minutes than he's getting now? You're not losing any minutes off this team this year. You're going to get Richmond in next year who's going to play minutes. You're getting Leonard in next year who's going to play minutes. You're getting Bertrand back who's going to play minutes. How's Griffey going to get any more minutes this year?
Well,
he's going to get less minutes next year than he's got this year.
Well, he may pass up a guy like Mike Davis, unless Mike Davis comes to play, or alternatively, you could redshirt Griffey.
That's not going to happen.
Do you know anything about John Scherna at Northwestern? Have you seen him play this year?
Sure.
Yeah. I envision Griffey somewhere in that range. Everyone makes a big jump or should make a big jump between freshman and sophomore year. I see Tyler with 10 more pounds on him. He's already likely the hardest worker on the squad. He's in the gym.
Well, I think he is too.
At absurd hours. I think his pure work ethic and his desire and adding the 8 or 10 pounds that you need to have to be in the league, I think that allows him to earn more minutes. I think he makes it impossible. Either that or he actually pushes Mike Davis and pushes guys enough that they stay above him. But I firmly believe that Tyler Griffey will be one of the few guys on this squad who actually plays more minutes next year than they did this year.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you not think he should have been playing more minutes this year?
I do, but it's so hard for me without going back and scouring every tape to quantify his defensive talents because, again, Bruce is more about defense than offense. And if you're not solid is one of his favorite words and one of the reasons Billy Cole plays so much. If you're not solid defensively and you're not strong enough defensively to guard a 4 or 5 as Tyler is not at this time, he gets docked for that. If it was all about offense, Tyler should be on the floor 25, 30 minutes a game.
What, Frank, let me ask you a question. If we don't make the NCAA tournament, which I anticipate will not happen, what would you say if Bruce Weber recommended to Ron Gunther that we pass on an NIT invitation?
Wouldn't bother me. That would not bother me at all if they didn't play in the NIT.
And how about you guys?
If they play in the NIT, they're probably going to pair them up against Illinois State, and we're going to find out that at least playing two teams, we're at least the third best team in the state.
Well, the NIT technically doesn't do that anymore. They do the same way they do the NCAA.
You don't think that'd be a first round pairing?
Well, I think if they were both in the 4 or 5 range and it was relatively convenient, it could be. But they wouldn't go out of their way if they thought Illinois was a 1 seed and Illinois State was a 3 or 4. They wouldn't swish them together.
It may be the only way we get more fans at a game is to play at Illinois State.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a game to go play at Redbird.
Frank, great.
Yeah, but like I said, it'd be embarrassing, I think.
Great question, Frank.
Find out if we're the third best team.
Frank, great question on Griffey. You know, we expect him to be a lot better and to be playing a lot more next year. He plays a position we drastically need. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening.
Does he win the shirt?
Does he win the shirt?
Yeah.
Email us at Talking Illini.
No. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get your address, and we're going to send you out a Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G shirt. And you can thank Lindsay.
Good, thanks a lot.
Good catch, Lindsay.
I'm going to run this whole ship. Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. We're going to, I want to bring up one more quick thing. Then we're going to let Lindsay run for the next 15 minutes with his indie experience. And then we have Mark Silverman coming on. If I hear one more person say that Mike Davis is athletic or an athletic freak or very athletic, I'm going to pull my hair out. The guy doesn't run fast down the court. He doesn't have stamina. And he, for 6'10", built like he is, he better be able to jump a little. But that's about it. He's got no shot. He's got no handles.
Lindsay, he's not athletic. Lindsay, I like to say that Boz reminds me of the robot in Lost in Space when he gets like this. Arms waving.
Akimbo. Askew.
Am I right or not? His athleticism is freak, way overrated.
Freak is the wrong thing. You know, I don't think he's a freak by any imagination. He can shoot 15-footers, 17-footers adequately enough. But, yes, he should be able – Lure can go off the dribble. Should he not be able to go off the dribble? There are things – ooh, people are making motions. You want me to send the runner from third, or you want me to
– I'm going to do my Jerry Markbrand imitation.
No, can't we go to 35? Yeah.
What is Wendell Kim saying
through the
in
break.
There?
All right. Yeah. We're blowing through the break because we got.
I'm more sponsor sensitive than Boz.
Well, know? we brought him in here.
Let's break in the chat. We don't have to talk about this.
Yes, we do. It's very interesting to me.
We can spend a few minutes.
All right. We're done with Mike Davis. We're done with everything. Lindsay went to Indianapolis 2 weeks ago, sat in on a mock seating thing. Tell us how it was done.
Okay. In the beginning. Basically, they showed us, and we pretended to be the NCAA committee as it is going to be this week, where they take over a wing of the – they did not let us take over a wing of the Westin Hotel as they do, the 15th floor or whatever it is in Indianapolis. But We had access to all the computers. We had access to all the information that they had. We had access to all the staff, the really powerful behind-the-scenes NCAA people. And basically, we used the information we had as of, I think we went in 2 days after Illinois won at Wisconsin. And we put together a bracket. And at that time, obviously everyone's excited. Illinois just beat Michigan State and Wisconsin. So we seeded Illinois. I think they were an 8 seed. I know this is going a little narrow already, but basically we learned exactly what the committee is looking at, what they're not looking at, all the incredible jumble of numbers that it is. And it frankly blew my mind how involved it is, and honestly how little they care. They don't care whatsoever what conference you're from. There's no, oh, we better get 5 teams from the Big Ten in, or we can't have 6 from the Atlantic Ten. That would just be wrong. It was mind-blowing how much effort these guys put into it and how tough it is. And really that
So it's in a vacuum. You're looking at it in a vacuum.
Oh, it's crazy. And I guess the thing that there were so many things that I didn't know, but one of the things that I didn't know that really applies here is that they do not decide who is the last team in. At a certain point, they rank, if there's 34 at-large teams in a tournament, which there will be, they'll rank, you know, there's number 32, here's number 33, here's number 34, 35, 36, 37, and so on. And depending how certain tournaments, how the tournament finals go, Saturday night is kind of the crux where they kind of get this all hammered out. Let's say a team pulls an upset in the Big West, and, you know, so another team has, let's pretend Gonzaga was on Saturday night. St. Mary's gets in and swipes a legitimate bid from an at-large team, so now Gonzaga has to get in. Or say the couple years when Illinois out of nowhere went to the finals when they shouldn't have as a 10 or 11 seed, and say Illinois had won one of those, then another at-large team. The cut moves, they don't decide, well, we have to have Illinois in. They're in. Illinois could be the number 35 team.
They don't replace
34.
Another Big Ten team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's none of that. It's really weird how that pans out.
And after going through this process and knowing what you know, what does Illinois have to do in order to make this tournament? And also, you can't answer that in a vacuum either, because other teams may stumble in their conference tournaments, and you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. We as a committee, Clark Kellogg was another person who was in there in the committee. You know,
we've heard of him.
He's the earlier version of Jimmy Jackson, Ohio State guy running the media, running TV now. He said, I don't care how much you won by, whether you came back, I want to know how, you know, who won and where you played. So he wanted to see good teams. He wanted to see you beating good teams, and he wanted to see road wins as well. I think that as a general consensus, that's what we liked, and that's why the group was so gung-ho for the Illinois win at Wisconsin. That was almost unique at the time. There were very few big road wins like that. Now as there's been another month that's passed, there are a few more other teams that can claim that they pulled off some big road wins. But I gave you these guys chart, and it's the nitty-gritty chart.
I've actually done origami with mine, but go ahead.
But there's
origami is not on the chart.
Yeah.
I think they're off the chart.
Yeah, Ernie Kent was fired from origami
right, exactly.
A few weeks back. It's an endless pile of numbers. It must be like what it's like to try to deal with a federal budget or trying to do this healthcare bill trying to run numbers. I've given you guys the nitty gritty report here where you got 10, 15, you can put however many teams, you can compare 3 teams, you can compare 15 teams, you can compare 30 teams, and you can get their RPI, their opponent's average RPI, overall record, non-conference record, road record, strength of schedule, record versus the 1 versus 50 RPIs, record versus the 51 versus 100 RPIs, record versus the 101 versus 200 RPIs, and the versus the top 100 altogether. And so if you're looking at this with me, there are 3 teams. I've got about 6. I got about 18 teams on here that I assume are going to be on the bubble here, and there's going to be room for only about 6 or 7 of them. There are only 3 teams with 4 wins over top 50 RPI teams, and Illinois is one of them, Georgia Tech and Dayton. But Illinois has gone, they've had so many chances, they're actually 4-8 against top 50 RPI teams, but they're only 1-3 against the teams that are in the 51-100 bracket, the Minnesota loss, the Bradley loss, the other one that's escaping me right now. But
Georgia, Utah.
Yeah, I think it might be Georgia is the other one there. There are a few reasons here to go, Illinois maybe should belong. They're 6-4 on the road. That's pretty good. A lot of these teams don't have winning road records. They're 41st in strength of schedule. Well, that's pretty solid. But then you think 5-11 versus teams in the top 100? Is that indicative of a team that belongs in the tournament? I guess what I'm
Well, you sound like you're telling the jury, I ask you.
Yeah, I, you know.
does that look like a guilty man?
Yeah. Of these 18 teams, depending on what criteria you could have, and you had to pick six, you could pick six different ones depending on any of these criteria. It's going to be such a thin line that the committee is going to have to deal with. And I'm willing to bet that they spend hour upon hour upon hour trying to break up the last three, four, five teams and trying to figure them out. Do they credit Illinois? Do they give them full credit for beating Wisconsin when Lure isn't there?
After watching them with Lure, I would say no.
But although right after that, or right before that, didn't Wisconsin kick Michigan State's ass without Lure?
Yes, they did.
Right before that.
Yes.
And then how much credit do they get for beating Michigan State at home without Kalen Lucas? Does that count? And a whole other thing. They claim that
you were supposed to get those questions answered.
The actual committee members were not there. The staff were there. Last year they decided there's no longer an emphasis on the last 10 or 12 games. Every game, Clemson counts just as much as Minnesota. You know, Presbyterian counts just as much as Northwestern. They're all supposed to be their own little entity. But psychologically, can you really look at that? And if you're a committee member, go, ooh, lost five of their last six.
We don't pass the eye test. We don't pass the smell test. We don't pass the test. I mean, there's nothing that looks like a tournament team that I've seen in the last six or seven games.
And Ohio State's Gene Smith is the Big Ten representative on this. He's not in charge of scouting the Big Ten teams. They don't do it like that. But surely he saw the Illinois-Ohio State games.
Don't call me Shirley.
Movie reference number seven. Ding! But does he tell the committee members, yeah, they got their ass kicked in Champaign, but when they were at Columbus last week, they actually played pretty well for 32 minutes. It's not really a 16-point loss. It was a good game to a certain point.
Had Evan Turner not been jacking up threes with 1 minute left in the game, it may have been a 6-7, 8-point game.
Yeah, and if Gene Smith or whoever, I can't remember who the Big Ten rep is, who's supposed to scout the Big Ten, does he bring that up, and does the committee buy that, or does the committee go, I've got 70,000 numbers in my head. How am I supposed to recognize that this Ohio State loss is really a 6-point loss, but yet I don't know this about the Iona-Siena game, or, you know, they have
you're going Gales on me, huh?
Yeah, I'm going Gales. There's just so much. I think Illinois, at the very minimum, needs to beat Wisconsin and needs to take Ohio State to the wire on the Saturday to put something in the committee's head, because they're going to be taking breaks, they're going to be watching games, or at least seeing stuff, you know, to put something in the committee's head that, yes, this is a team that can hang with top four seeds, and the tournament is better for having Illinois in it.
Don't you think there's a better chance of Illinois just completely rolling over against Wisconsin and packing it in?
Yes, I do. If there hasn't been a sense of urgency to this point, if you couldn't get all wired for Minnesota,
right,
Ohio State at home. What are the chances you're going to get wired on a Friday afternoon? It's too late for all that.
Well, because our friend Bill from Ohio is going to be there Friday afternoon. Bill, if you want to send us your address, we'll send you a T-shirt that you could wear Friday at Conseco. And Lindsay will come up. If you're wearing it, he'll come up and buy you a soda or something, because you'll be the only one there with a Bosley.
Maybe some nachos T-shirt. I will buy them.
You know, Lindsay is far more youthful than I anticipated he would be. I kind of had you
pictured as
this, like, you know, wise Yoda kind of character.
The Daily Herald pictures don't do you justice. Did you see the new one this morning of Imram? That was even scarier than the old one.
How old is Imram, by the way?
I'll say 63 or so.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I think he finished Illinois in 68, 69, somewhere.
Okay, so he's around 60.
Maybe 68 he might be an alum in that range. He's almost contemporaries with Gunther, whatever year. They know each other going back.
I think Gunther is a 67 grad of Illinois, 68, somewhere in there.
That could be it.
So when do they first have 65 teams and then they do the seeding, or how does that all come?
They actually do it kind of concurrently. They're meeting today. They'll kind of get all situated. Tomorrow is when they'll do the initial ballot. And I wish I'd brought that in. They have a spreadsheet of all 300. Excuse me while I spit on you. All 334 Division I teams that are eligible for the tournament. And they even include the three who are ineligible, like Southern Cal, for probation and whatnot. And you can vote either AI or C or nothing. You fill out like the SAT or the ACTs. We got to take the pencil and, you know, fill in the color in the little box. And if you vote AI, you think they're a no-brainer. They should be in on the. We don't even need to discuss them. They're in.
This is all very mind-numbing to me. I you know, if you guys want to just talk amongst yourselves, I can do something else. I mean,
well, then go ahead. I think this is very interesting stuff.
And
we just have a few more minutes.
Or if you vote C, you should be under consideration. If a school there are 10 voters, but you can't like Gene Smith cannot vote anything Ohio State. So if you get all but two votes, then you're automatically included. You're poof, you're in the pool. I think like 20 teams in general, 20 to 22 teams every year, they go right in regardless. If you get at least two votes.
Duke, that would be Duke.
Yeah, you know, it's Duke. That's the four Big Ten teams. That's
Duke could be 10 and 20 and they go right in.
Charlotte. It's like the football version, Notre Dame. Notre Dame gets colored in automatic for the BCS. If you need at least two votes out of the 10 for a consideration in order to be put on the big board. I think we had a total of maybe 77, 80 schools somewhere that were actually in the initial consideration. Now, you can add a team later or cross a team off as things go along. Like, say, I don't know, if Northwestern didn't get voted, but they go on a run and get to the title game, well, then chances are they're probably going to be put somewhere in the mix because they'll have beaten two pretty good seeds to get there. And then it's so mind-numbing. All the votes. Vote for eight teams. Now vote for four of those eight. Now rank them 1 through 4. Now let's throw some back in the pool and throw some in, and we'll vote eight more. And then as they get to a certain point, they start seeding, and they know that, you know, they haven't gotten the last five or eight at-larges, but then they start seeding, and they do some of that. And then there's a fourth quadrant group that you know, does all the automatic qualifiers that, you know, they're going to be 15 and 16 seeds. They map them out. It's just mind-boggling. And they get a whopping total of $75 a day for doing it.
Do you get
it's like
good
being
food?
An election judge.
Yeah, it's.
Did you get good food?
Oh, and they gave us the food that they tried to replicate the menus. The ice cream sundae bar with the nuts and the whipped
nice.
Cream and the cherries and the various ice creams and the nice pasta and the healthful food. I would sign up permanently if I could.
You know, looking at this sheet you gave us, I don't know how many teams are on here. Utah
we'll
State's
go 18,
in,
I 18. Think.
And say six will get in. I don't know that we could beat the others in the NIT. I mean, they'll be tough games. Utah State, San Diego State, Rhode Island, UAB, Georgia Tech, Memphis, UNLV, Washington, Dayton.
Because these teams will play like they care, and we play like we don't care about the outcome, and that's the difference.
Minnesota, you know, on a neutral court, we'd have a tough time with Minnesota, probably.
Maybe this is too pop psychological, but this team played so hard for much of last year and probably overachieved to get a 5 seed. Would that be would that be going too far? Is that
yes.
fair? Whatever. They played about as well as they could. They get a 5 seed, you know, they're on a roll, and they lose to Western Kentucky in the first round, and is that all there is? Is I don't know if there's a pop sec. Why do I want to put in all this effort and care all this much and then we're done by Thursday night? You know, why do I want to care so much when I'm just going to get my heart broken here in a few days? Maybe that's nothing.
You think
nothing
that
to
carries
it.
Over the whole
I
year?
I have no idea. Maybe that has nothing to do with it at all. It just struck me. Maybe I'm just too old now, and I realize that I put all this effort into covering and writing, and then the season could be even if they get in, the season could be over by, you know, the end of the first day, and you're like,
well yeah,
wow, that's an abrupt ending. You know, hooray for that.
Well, that's been our whole lives. We could go back to the Lou Hansen days,
Austin Peay and missing free throws,
Villanova.
Did Dickie V ever stand on his head?
He
at
did
half
indeed
court?
In the studio. Yes, he did. He stood
Speaking
on his head.
Speaking of Dickie V, we got a couple minutes before break, and then Mark Silverman's going to join us. Did anyone watch the Duke North Carolina game Saturday?
I watched about 5 minutes of it.
I didn't see any of it. Somebody told me, my office partner, said that Dickie V said Shire was the best player ever at Duke.
Well, I think that whatever medication he's on, they ought to adjust the dosage.
The best player from Northbrook that Duke has
ever
had?
Yeah, maybe. No, it would, you know, I'm just glad that you guys, you know, aren't
better than
Grant Hill, Grant Bobby Hill. Hurley, and on.
That Leitner dude you mentioned before was
Leitner,
passable. Vic Corey Bubas, was he, did he play?
Well, maybe Dick Groat.
Yeah, Dick Groat.
Dick Groat, yeah.
Hyman, what was it, Art Hyman?
Yeah, there's the
All
name
right,
I was
well,
thinking
okay.
of.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure, you know, there weren't a lot of people agreeing with him on that. So
you got to get the member of the tribe in there when, you know, he's one of the all-time leading scorers for Duke.
Art Hyman?
Yes.
Okay.
Very I think good. It's Heyman. I think it's actually pronounced Heyman.
All right. Well, Lindsay, thanks a lot for coming in and giving us this enlightening on Indy. And I want to make a point here about predictions and what guys know and don't know. But I have the Sporting News preseason magazine in front of me.
We're happy for you.
Oh, you should have Lindy's. That's one that somebody writes a lot of Big Ten stuff for. I can't remember who that guy's name. Lindsay. Well, it should be renamed Lindsay's, I think, at some point.
Yes. I thought it was your magazine.
Out of the top 25, and then I have the Daily Herald's top 25. And so out of the top 25 from the preseason, half of them aren't in the 25 today.
Shocking.
Where was Illinois in the Sporting News top 25?
21. The teams that aren't in are North Carolina, Mississippi State, Washington, Connecticut, California, Clemson, Wake Forest, Illinois, Notre Dame, Dayton, Michigan, Florida State.
Now, I would guess my initial top 25 probably about as close to that many. Maybe
now
10
the teams that are in that weren't on that list but are in now: Syracuse, New Mexico, Kansas State, Wisconsin, BYU, Pitt, Temple, Gonzaga, Vanderbilt, Baylor, Texas A&M, Xavier, and UTEP. So I just kind of thought that would be a little interesting tidbit there.
Lindsay, if you could have one player from the state of Illinois at Illinois not named Evan Turner, who would that player be on this year's team?
You know, I was watching the DePaul game earlier today, and they showed a graphic. They were trying to make the point that DePaul needs to keep Illinois players. And they had Turner, McCamey, Pullen from K-State.
Sharon Collins.
Shumpert.
And
Dunnigan.
They didn't have Shumpert or Dunnigan. There was somebody else who was a guard. And it's
Cullen?
Slipping my mind.
Pullen?
No, they had Pullen. There was a fifth guy, and I can't think of it. But I would say, boy, if they had Sharon Collins, they wouldn't have McCamey. They would have been.
Mr. G would probably take that in a heartbeat.
Well, who wouldn't? I mean,
yeah, they're, and we could go round and round about why Sharon Collins is where he is.
And by the way, Sharon Collins would have brought other players here, and that's the other thing too. McCamey was not going to be a recruiter for Bruce Weber.
I would say, aside from Turner, I would say Sharon Collins would be the guy to have.
It wouldn't be Shire, it'd be Turner. Okay.
Shire was the fifth guy. I'm sorry. Yeah. Shire was the fifth guy in that chart. I would say Sharon Collins is the difference maker there.
All right, so that new Big Ten Network show coming out in the fall, Icons, top 50 guys of all time.
Boz, we're getting a signal from the
we got a break?
From our producer that we're going to
throw out a name. Throw out an old name.
Ditka. No.
Pitt isn't in the Big Ten yet.
Well, Red Grange is going to be one.
Yeah, but throw out a name that people might not remember or recognize or
Neil
might be
Bresnahan.
In the bubble.
Vic Janowitz.
Oh, okay, that'd be a good one. A guy like Cassie Russell, you think he'll be on there? Or Leroy Keyes?
Alan Amici.
Hopalong Cassidy.
Well, I think those guys are no-brainers.
And wait, is this all sports? Is this just football and
basketball? Well, no, I would think it's all sports. So a Dan Gable or a Mark Spitz would be on the list?
You know, that is a hellacious idea that they've had to do this.
Rick Mount, one of my favorite guys.
How do you rank Jesse Owens versus Mark Spitz versus Red Grange versus...
Well, they're all on.
Doc Councilman, whatever.
He wasn't a player. He was just a coach.
All right, we're going to be back with Mark Silverman from the Big Ten Network.
We'll ask him.
And we'll ask him that question. And in the meantime, back to you, Dave.
You buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
Get one-on-one information from some of the best trained professionals in the financial services business. Stephen King is with AXA Advisors, part of a global company helping 50 million people reach their financial goals. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 224-554-8053. That's 224-554-8053. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC. Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
Chicago Athletic Club is the number one athletic club chain in Chicagoland, according to the Chicago Tribune. For membership info, visit their Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Evanston, or West Loop locations, or call Pat Cunningham at 773-529-2024. Tell him Boz and Mr. G sent you, and receive 1 month absolutely free. That's 773-529-2024. Chicago Athletic Clubs, another great Illini sports experience.
Across the country and around the world, this is TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio.
Now, back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
Boz and Mr. G back talking Illini, and it's our pleasure to welcome in for the first time to Talking Illini the president of the Big Ten Network via Los Angeles, a UCLA grad, and I believe graduate school at Michigan. So we'll be nice to him, Mr. G. Want to welcome in Mark Silverman from the Big Ten Network. Mark, thanks for hopping on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Welcome, Mark. You guys are on quite the roll these days. I read that your football ratings in primetime were up 183%. Now, you've run a lot of networks, from the Family Network, you were with ESPN. Have you ever had a 183% ratings jump?
No, I think that's safe to say it's a personal record of setting that kind of an increase. Our season this past year has just been it's hard to put it into words. The amount of improvement and focus and, you know, how we've really taken the next step up here has been, you know, nothing short of phenomenal. And starting with the fall, we had some just great, great games. We had Iowa beating Michigan State to stay undefeated in prime time on the last play of the game. We had Michigan State beating Michigan in overtime. We launched our new football four-pack shows to give fans more of a reason to watch the network during the week as opposed to only tuning in on football Saturdays. And then you know, starting this winter with The Journey, where we retooled it a little bit. We wanted to make it a broader appealing show, and we've gotten great access at all the different programs to show some great behind the scenes stuff. And now we're at the tournament, and we've really kind of made the next major step forward. And I think we're getting closer to what I had envisioned we would be. And it's about this kind of a time frame that sometimes it takes to get your network to be able to do what it's doing now. But it's something we're hearing very positive words from the schools and our viewers, and we're going to keep getting better. You know, the next few years are really key for us to keep increasing the amount of programming and the quality of the programming, and we think the viewers are going to really like what they see.
Yeah, it's a great template. When you first started out, though, you had this Comcast breakdown in negotiations, and you thought to yourself, what am I getting into? Did you ever have those thoughts?
You know, I kind of knew what we were getting into. These networks, they go through that kind of a challenge. You know, the Yankees network, when it launched in New York, wasn't carried by Cablevision, who's the largest provider in New York City, for a year. That's the way, and the NFL network's been out there for many years and has had you know, some challenges of their own to get distributed. So, you know, I went in with my eyes open. I knew this was not going to be easy. I think the PR campaign was a little bit more than anything I was prepared to get into. That was exceedingly challenging and difficult and beyond what I was really prepared for. But I was prepared for distribution to be gradual. We knew we would not get full distribution right away. You know, we had our deals with DirecTV and Dish and RCN and some other providers our first year. And the key was really getting the Comcast and in Ohio and Wisconsin, getting Time Warner as well to come on board right before kickoff our second year. But you know, that's part of the, you know, it's just part of the way this industry works. I wish it was different, but you know, it's kind of, you just have to go through that and prove that there's a viability of what your network is about. And I think we were able to do that, and now we could focus more recently on just really improving the programming and making sure we're putting on air what fans of the Big Ten and its universities want to see.
You can imagine my wife's expression, though, when we were getting DirecTV and Comcast bills every month.
Oh, I'm still getting them, so I do know. I still get them both, unfortunately. I know. It's something you wish was, but you could do it differently. But there really isn't an easy way for that to get done for a lot of reasons. I mean, it's a very big stakes negotiation, and I think there just needs to unfortunately have more of a drawn out process. If there's a better way to do it, I'm all for it. But it just seems like this is the way the industry works.
Mark, I'm sure you probably have numbers, a breakdown by school as to what the ratings are in the certain areas. How are the Illini fans responding to the network compared to the other schools in the conference in terms of viewership?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They're all very comparable. You know, Ohio State is sort of in their own category with ratings. A lot of that is due to the concentration in Columbus, where they're really the only game in town. It's a major city. There's no, there's a professional hockey team, but there's no basketball. It's in Cleveland. There's no baseball. There's no football in Columbus. And you're able to see just significant ratings for Ohio State, particularly driven by Columbus. But outside of that, the Illini are consistent. You know, Michigan is strong. Illini are strong. Wisconsin, Indiana basketball does very well for us. You know, so it's pretty consistent. I think that's one of the reasons the whole idea of the Big Ten Network works is that it's not only reliant on a couple of universities to drive the viewership interest. You have these major universities with significant numbers of alumni and fans, and we see that every time we air an Illini game, in our region and particularly in Chicago, how strong the ratings are. So it's very well balanced for the most part.
What are the actual numbers on living Big Ten alums in the United States?
I believe the last number I saw is around 4 million. Active alums, and a couple interesting side notes to that. There are more Big Ten alumni living in Arizona than there are Pac-10 alumni.
Incredible.
There are, I believe seven of the top 10 number of alumni, active alumni, are from the Big Ten, of the top 10 nationally. Across the country, seven of them are in the Big Ten. When you combine how long the schools have been in the Big Ten, 100 plus years, plus the size of the universities, plus a lot of them have graduate schools as well as undergraduate schools, it's just a tremendous number, and it really significantly dwarfs any of these other conferences in terms of the number of current students and alums.
And we're nomadic too. We spread out all over the country.
Absolutely. And that's something I don't think a lot of fans are aware of. Our distribution, we actually have more subscribers to the network outside the eight states than inside the eight states. We have over 3 million subscribers in California, over 2 million in Texas that get the network. And it's significant having alums that live in New York and LA and Florida and Texas, and that helps the whole national appeal of this network, which is now what we are. Early on it was very regionally focused, and of course we're going to have more of a flavor here in the Midwest. But there's an interest all over the country in our programming, and oftentimes on a Saturday, other than ESPN and sometimes ESPN2, I mean, we're the next watched cable sports network out there. And it is a pretty significant amount of programming also in the winter with all of our conference basketball games. We have two-thirds of all the conference games on. And in a year like this year, when you have four teams in the top 15, you know, there's a lot of interest nationally in a lot of our programming. So I think some people who live in our area may not fully realize the national scope that the network really has.
Do you think there's an ESPN bias against the Big Ten and the Big Ten network? And that you suffer a little bit because ESPN is threatened by the Big Ten Network?
I don't think there's any kind of conscious effort to disparage the Big Ten in any way. I mean, the thing, and I, you know, we get a lot of calls and emails asking our view on this topic. I know our fans are very aware, you know, when they perceive of a slight or something like that on ESPN. From my experiences, and I know a lot of the people there, I do believe that their journalistic element is very different and differently run than their business side. They have a massive investment with the Big Ten. Yes, they have a big investment with the SEC, absolutely. But they're still, you know, they provide more revenue to the Big Ten than we do. ESPN and ABC are still, you know, on the hook for a lot of money for seven more years. So it's really not in their best interest to talk badly about the conference. What I do think happens, guys, is that a lot of their announcers are ACC and Big East type guys. And I just think through their eyes, they're not doing it purposely, but they may sometimes, you know, take a different point of view than I think Jim Jackson or Dan Dockett or I would in terms of evaluating, you know, kind of the way the ACC or the Big East teams versus the Big Ten. I don't think it's like a planned ESPN agenda, though.
Mark, we got an email from one of our listeners. Charlie wants to know, what role will the network play with Jim Delaney and his part of the operation in the eventual expansion of the Big Ten?
You know, I think, you know, as the conference evaluates expansion, the network is one of many factors that they, you know, are evaluating along with, you know, the academic standing, the geographic fit. It's just, you know, I would imagine a laundry list of areas. And I think the impact to the network is one, you know, and, you know, I can't really talk to how important that is versus these others, but I do think it's a factor and there are a lot of factors there. And, you know, I think as the conference seriously evaluates expansion or not, you know, we're here to help with any kind of analysis. But, you know, regardless, you know, we think the network's got a lot of room to grow. And you know, if there's a 12th team, that's great. If there's not a 12th team, you know, we think we're very happy with the way things are.
Mark, if you were emperor of the Big Ten, where would you like to see the 12th team?
You know, I think all the candidates all have their own.
Now you sound like a politician.
I know. You know, I really don't. I'm not comfortable commenting. I'll just be honest. You know, I don't feel it's appropriate for me to talk specifically about any school versus another. I know the conference has issued its quiet period right now, and I'm going to honor that and just work behind the scenes with the conference as they figure it out.
We're going to have to get you back on and work that one a little more.
Sorry about that.
Do you ever think of it in terms of a cooperative relationship with, let's say, the Pac-10, where you were an undergrad, and a Pac-10, Big Ten super network that would somehow really and truly compete with ESPN?
You know, I think there's definitely something to that. But, you know, I think the way the Big Ten has approached this network, you know, and the Big Ten owns the majority of this network. You know, the Big Ten enjoys having a branded network, you know, to bring all of its sports on the air, sports that would never get the time of day. You know, a lot of the women's sports and the Olympic sports, and having an opportunity to air some campus programming that's not even related to sports at all. And I think the conference is so happy to have something unique and that it takes pride in, and it differentiates the conference from others, that I think that is really, you know, the goal of what the Big Ten is trying to get out of this network. And, you know, it's not necessarily out there to turn it into an ESPN competitor. Although from a business standpoint, I think there's, there's some justification for that. I just don't think that's what the Big Ten has in mind.
No, and I think the mission is more altruistic. It elevates you to a different level in terms of what you're doing, how you're doing it, and your mission statement.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's a great point. You know, one of the things, you know, I know you guys are probably aware of this, you know, we don't take any alcohol ads.
Yeah,
we take no gambling ads. You know, we air hundreds of events that, you know, make very little advertising, if any, advertising revenue. But that costs millions of dollars to produce and put on the air. But that's okay. You know, that's part of what this network is trying to accomplish is, you know, we're trying to represent all of what the Big Ten is, and we think, you know, we're doing well, we're profitable, but we could run it in that kind of a way, whereas if you go a little to a different direction, you have a different goal and set of priorities as to what you're trying to accomplish. That's just very different than what ours is today.
Does it matter where the Big Ten tourney is? Is Chicago better for the Big Ten network than Indianapolis?
You know, it's only been in Indy since the network's been on the air, so it's hard to really answer that question. It was in Chicago my first year here as we were getting the network launched. And then since the network's been on the air, it's been in Conseco. We love it at Conseco. I mean, it's a great venue. I don't know if you've been there.
It's a
great venue. They really do up the city well. It's very inviting for what this kind of event is. That being said, you know, I think attendance has been a challenge there. You know, you could argue there's a lot more Big Ten alums of various schools that are based in Chicago. You know, I kind of see it both ways, and I would imagine the conference, when they decided to go to Conseco for a few years, you know, they weighed these back and forth, and, you know, they decided to go with Conseco. I think both cities have their, you know, benefits to going there.
Mark, you mentioned how over the course of the first couple of years, you're always looking for improvement and new programming. And in our last couple minutes we have here, tell us about this new program that'll start in the fall, Big Ten Icons.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited about this show. I mean, this is one of those shows that we've been talking about for years, and I just never felt the network was ready to do it right. And we needed to make sure we had distribution done. We needed to make sure we had the viewership up where I thought it should be, that our marketing is able to tie in, that we could produce a high-quality show. And you know, when we started seeing the journey, it really convinced me that we've made a major step forward on the level of programming we're putting on the network. And we started to investigate doing this Big Ten Icon show. And once we got the idea of counting them down, really looking at who are the biggest icons in Big Ten history, how does a Dick Butkus rank with a Magic Johnson, with a Red Grange, you know, with a Jesse Owens? You know, how do you evaluate these kinds of guys? And how does it all play out? And then, you know, we started talking about a host, and Keith Jackson, we were able to get, you know, to drive an interest with him. And after some discussion back and forth, he agreed to host the show, who's the only person I could ever see, you know, hosting a show that's called, you know, Big Ten Icons, the top 50. So we're so thrilled with the show. It's going to launch this fall. We're going to reveal the numbers 50 through 21 online the first couple weeks of football season. And then starting September 18th, we're going to count down with a half-hour show on each different icon, number 20 to number 1. And we're just really excited. We think it's going to generate a lot of debate and discussion among Big Ten fans, and we you know, can't wait to get started on it.
So do you think Delaney is really a closet ACC fan? Was he wearing his Carolina blue shorts when they beat Illinois in the 2005 championship?
You know, I definitely think there's definitely a fondness for North Carolina. You know, I don't think you can play for Dean Smith and not have some carrying effect of Tar Heel blue. But, you know, I think, you know, I feel privileged to, frankly, to have launched this network with Jim Delaney. And I think the guy is an incredible visionary and, such a great representative of looking out for these 11 schools and the conference. And, you know, I think when it's said and done and Jim Delaney's accomplishments are out there listed, there's not going to be anyone with more who's been a commissioner of a conference, I don't think.
Mark, we want to thank you for hopping on for a few minutes with Boz and Mr. G talking Illini, and with you running the show there, I expect to see Mark Spitz high up on that list as well.
I'll see what I can do.
I'll see you around town.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Mark Silverman, president of the Big Ten Network, Boz and Mr. G talking Illini. That's about it for today. We want to thank our guests, Jimmy Jackson, Lindsey Wilhite, and hopefully we'll be talking about an NCAA game next week. For now, that's it. We'll see you next week on Talkin' Illini.